A slowdown in the job market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, new numbers this morning show a slowdown in hiring. We'll find out what's going on with the job market. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 44 points, or about 4-tenths of 1% at 12,524. The NASDAQ down 1-tenth of 1%, and the S&P 500 down 3-tenths of 1%. Now let's get to jobs. The payroll company ADP said this morning private employers added just 38,000 jobs last month. That's well below what economists were expecting, and it comes ahead of Friday's big jobs report from the Labor Department. Let's bring in our regular Wednesday guest, Richard DeKayser, chief economist with the Parthenon Group, who's with us live from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what's going on with the job market, Richard? Why this bad number?
Well, I think it's some basic arithmetic. The economy slowed down. In the first quarter, we saw real GDP growth, just up about 1.8%. That is about what we can accomplish in terms of rising output just through productivity growth. So if we're actually going to grow jobs in a meaningful way, we've got to do something more than that, and we didn't. Now, there's two schools of thought on this. One school says it's persistent. We're seeing waning stimulus, and as a result, it's going to last for a time. The other school of thought says it's due to temporary factors, the tsunami in Japan and high energy prices in Northeast, coming out of tumult in Northeast, North Africa and the Middle East. So it'll take a couple of months to clear up which exactly these two stories fits best.
And Richard, what about housing? We got these bad news yesterday about home prices, which are still falling. How is that impacting the job market?
Well, it's not helping. Housing is critically important. It's most people's biggest asset. It encourages spending when prices rise, and it also encourages banks to lend when they don't have to worry about losing equity on new bank loans. So it's very important, and it's also important because it's part of this whole stimulus story. You know, we've had these recurring resurgence in the housing market whenever the government gives very generous stimulus measures, right. And then as soon as they pulled away, things fall back down.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure.
Well, congressional Republicans are sitting down with the president this morning at the White House for a meeting on the nation's debt ceiling. Yesterday, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly defeated a bill that would have raised the ceiling with no spending cuts attached. The Treasury Department says Congress has until August 2nd to reach a deal or the nation will default on its debt. For more, let's bring in Jared Bernstein. He's the former chief economist to the vice president. He left that job in April to join the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Jared Bernstein, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, I want to ask you, how do you expect this debt ceiling thing to play out?
I expect the negotiators to resolve the debt ceiling, that is, to increase it sooner than later. I get that there's a big scrum going on around this, of course, but ultimately the imperative of doing the right thing for not just our economy, but for the global economy, I'm optimistic that that will prevail. But sooner the better, man.
Do you think that if we do get a deal on the debt ceiling soon, it's going to come along with big budget cuts that are big enough to put the economic recovery at risk?
I certainly hope not. One of the most important things is that you don't enact the kinds of measures like aggressive spending cuts in the very near term that could offset a recovery that's still pretty nascent, that's still really trying to reach escape velocity.
Until recently, you were right in the middle of the economic power circle as the chief economist to the vice president. Why did you leave that job?
I was frustrated not with what was going on inside the White House. It's the debate going on outside the White House that I have found really very misleading. Lots of assertions and claims made that are factually upside down. So one of the things that I hope to do on the outside is help explain on a factual basis how things could work better.
Jared Bernstein, former chief economist with the vice president, now with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. on the web at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
When you think of ports of call for cruise ships, you might think of Miami or even Anchorage, probably not Detroit. But as Michigan Radio Sarah Hewlett reports, a new cruise terminal is coming to the Motor City this month.
Work crews are putting the finishing touches on Detroit's $22 million cruise ship and ferry terminal. The project was financed mostly with federal dollars. Stephen Olenek is with the Detroit Wayne County Port Authority. He stands in front of a corrugated steel and glass building, looking out onto a brand new concrete wharf in the Detroit River. He and other supporters hope it will help bring back the once thriving Great Lakes cruise industry. But as of now, Olenek admits there are not many cruise ships waiting to dock in Detroit.
But my sense and the sense of others involved in this revitalization of the trade is that once one of these large operators got involved in the trade, they would be very successful and others would follow.
What we have here is a boondoggle.
Leon Drillette is the director of the Michigan Taxpayers Alliance.
Detroit doesn't need a cruise ship stop. That money that went to the cruise ship dock, if it went to police officers, I think a lot more people felt good about it.
Port officials expect 2 calls this summer from a Great Lakes cruise ship and 1 from a tall ship, but no other cruise stops are scheduled. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally to New York City, where a woman is suing Chanel. She went into the company's 57th Street store and tried on a $10,000 diamond ring, but couldn't get it off her finger. She ended up spending several hours in the emergency room where doctors were finally able to remove the ring without cutting it. Something tells me there was a team of Chanel security guards at the woman's side to make sure that Operation Get the Ring Back went smoothly. We're on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. I'm on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Tobacco use in the military is higher than the national average, but with the obvious health risks, why are prices kept so low for service members?
If you just look at the things that smoking decreases, it decreases a military member's fitness, decreases fine motor coordination, stamina, even decreases wound healing.
I'm Tess Vigeland. A look at the bargain-priced tobacco sold to troops next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.